Don't believe what I just saw.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
This is John Sheezer. I'm here.
Eric Marino.
Eric.
No, I got to tell you about the Clippers. I'm an
addict. Sportsaholics. I got to.
Let's just hope this shit doesn't go viral.
Okay. Nope. Ever helped a brother out when he was down on his luck? You a sap?
Nope.
You a boss player? You a Mac?
Yep.
Let me hold a couple dollars.
Nope.
Y'all still be popping y'all collars?
Yep.
Stock rims on the scrape?
Nope.
Paint wetter than a lake?
Yep.
Poodle in my blood?
Nope.
All right, we are back on Sportsaholics. This is episode number 113. This is not Eric's. This is not Eric's whistle. This is just some other guy. This is some kind of it's like a make do whistle that I just found on YouTube, and I'm like, well, I'll just plug in that in the meantime. But guys, welcome. It is we have a great episode this week. I don't know if you're familiar with drone racing at all. ESPN is now launching a drone racing league. It's actually, watch some of the videos on YouTube. But we have Austin Evan Wright on this week, the owner of Adrenaline Racing based in Topeka, Kansas, in around Kansas City area. And he just kind of breaks it down, what they cost from the low end to the high end, just kind of the experience and just where drone racing's going, you know, in general as a whole. And then also have my longtime good friend Brent Benson on this week, who is in Ohio and recently attended a Cincinnati Reds game and had just walked out of a Kansas City Royals loss against the Cleveland Indians. And he was a little disappointed in you Cleveland Indians fans, or I guess I should say the lack of Cleveland Indians fans at the game. But a great episode this week. For me personally, it's week two of the NFL. Chiefs lost. I'm like, okay, whatever. They beat the Texans in the playoffs last year when it mattered, so I'm fine with that. Don't really care, really. The Royals, they're done. They're out of the playoffs. This is what I did today. I got on shopmlb.com, which I spent too much time on anyway, just buying hats and just random stuff on sale and just whatever. But I just went on the Cubs site and they had their division champions hats and with the cool. I actually at first did not like the postseason logo this year for the 2016, but I feel like the longer the odds that the Royals had to make the playoffs, now they're pretty much zero. Like the more the hat became appealing, and now that they're not going to make the hopefully, I mean, they could win 12, 15 in a row, maybe, and still probably not make the playoffs. But now I want the hat. I'm like, because I know that there'll never be a Royals hat with that on it. And it actually looks pretty sweet. I wasn't really happy with last year's postseason hats. I thought the World Series thing was just kind of ugly and just kind of, it was like a bulky, kind of just a bad logo, I guess, put simply. But Cubs fans, you're lucky. You can go right now and buy that hat and wear it proudly for another couple weeks before the postseason even starts. That's how big of a lead you guys had. And now I'm a Dodgers fan too, and I'm back in LA next week. And grew up, well, my LA growing up in my 20s spent going to Dodgers games all the time, and you know, Vin Scully on the radio all the time. It was my first playoff experience against the Phillies in 08 at Chavez Ravine. And it was my first time really cheering on a winning baseball franchise. And it had some great, great memories. So I'm excited to get back there. And the Dodgers now, as we're recording, have a 6-game lead in the West. The Giants are falling about as hard as Oakland did in 14. The only difference is they might not even make the wild card. But I'm torn here. This is where I'm torn. I do not like the Giants, and might I add, the Giants, since the All-Star break specifically, have been, I think, the worst team in baseball. But I'm just going to toss in there that I actually tour Giants Stadium, and I'm pretty sure they're at least 15 or 20 games under 500 since I set foot in Giants Stadium, AT&T Park, and stood in front of their three stupid World Series trophies from 10 and 12 and 14 and handed my phone to the tour guide and said, can you take my picture? Wearing a Royals World Series 15 champions hat, wearing a Kansas City Athletics blue and, or I'm sorry, white, red, and blue hat that says KC. There is no doubt in anyone's mind who the guy from Kansas City is or who the KC fan is. It's me. And so she grabs the camera or my phone. Right before she takes the picture, I do the thumbs down. She takes it. Wasn't really pleased with the thumbs down, but I kind of patch it up real quickly with the kind of like, haha, you guys won, so, you know, you had the last laugh kind of thing, which, you know, she happily agreed with. But I feel like, you know, ever since that moment, they've been well under 500. So I feel like I've done my small part, but I'm torn because, like, do I want the Giants to slide in to the wild card like they did in 14 and march their way through the National League? I think they did it in 10 also. I don't feel comfortable with the Giants in the playoffs, and I certainly don't want to hear this it's an even year thing again for another two more years, because it's annoying is what it is. So I just want to put an end to the 2 year thing and then, you know, start a new 3 year thing, or they only win every even year and then they don't win for 40 years and then they win every even, whatever. Just put an end to it. But I'm torn because Pittsburgh's not getting the wild card. They're done. They're 7.5 back. So now that leaves St. Louis, and I'm not one to really root for the Cardinals ever. Ever. Because the Cardinals are a dangerous franchise. They've won 11, 12 World Series. A historic franchise. St. Louis is a good baseball town. I will admit that. My argument being, and will always be, is it hard to be a good baseball town when you go to the World Series every 5-6 years and when you almost make the playoffs or make the playoffs every year? It's pretty easy to be a good baseball town when you're horrible or when you're good. When you're not good and fans still show up, that's kind of where I'm, you know, that's more valuable to me as a baseball fan. I have more respect, you know, for maybe like the diehard St. Louis Browns fans from the 40s, all 15 of them that would go to every game. I just recently read that they would average like 800 fans, the Browns would. But anyway, so you see where the dilemma is, Giants or Cardinals. It's a lose-lose. Either way, I want neither team advancing in the playoffs beyond the first round. The ALDS put a stop to it. I'm happy there. But anyway, we'll move on with the show. Let's just get into some drone talk. It's fascinating. I want one now. Guys, remember, if you're going to be in San Diego or La Jolla, California, Pacific Beach, if you're coming down to Southern California, hit up Don Carlos Taco Shop in La Jolla, California, on Pearl Street, catty corner from the Comedy Store in La Jolla. So if you're going to go see a show at the Comedy Store in La Jolla, by all means, go to the early show and then get a burrito afterwards. Do not get a burrito, then go to the comedy show. I repeat, do not go to Don Carlos at Eat a Burrito on Twitter. Do not go to Don Carlos, order a Trevino burrito, and then go to the comedy store and watch a show for an hour and a half. Do not do that. You watch the show, then go get the burrito. Then your life is good. Also, one lovely.com, onelovely, onelovely.com. I just went to their site yesterday. I'm ordering two of the same shirt. I like the shirt so much that I'm getting two of them, and they've got great stuff there, and you're not going to find it anywhere else. And you know, I say every week, just don't be the guy that's wearing the shirt that everybody else has. Just go onelovely.com. They've got a bunch of great merchandise you can check out. A bunch of, I call them one-off shirts. You know, they're limited. They're only making a couple hundred of them, so you're not going to see a lot of them around. And they're great shirts. They got great stuff, skateboard decks, all sorts of stuff. Go check it out, onelovely.com. And when we get back, we will be talking with Austin Evan Wright of Adrenaline Racing in Topeka, Kansas. That's right, Kansas, my home state. This guy's not only just a great comic. I wish I had some of his comedy right now. I could play, lay down. But you know, when you go in, when you hit him up on Twitter or whatever, when you see Austin face to face, just ask him, hey, when's your next show? And chances are he'll have one coming up in the next couple months in that area, and you're gonna have to go check it out. All right, when we get back, Austin had the right. All right, so we've got our first drone talk here on Sportsaholics. We're here with Austin Evan Wright. Austin is a longtime friend of mine, hilarious comedian, and the most avid drone enthusiast that I know, and really that probably, you know, there aren't many there out in the country. That are,
hold on, how many do you know?
Yeah, look. Well, first of all, Austin, Mr. Wright, if you will, thanks for coming on Sportsaholics. It's good to hear your voice.
Thanks for having me, man. I love you, John. I'll do this show all the time for you. You're good people.
But you've gotten me just through Facebook over the past couple weeks, like really excited about drones. And I think for you listeners in the Midwest, Adrenaline Racing on Twitter, that's at @Adrenaline. Aline Racing, RACING. And I'll repeat that.
Adrenaline Racing, yeah. Like it's a play on words for adrenaline because that's what happens when you pick up the
I'm excited. I really can't wait to get back to Kansas City and have time to come out there and just have fun with it because it looks like a great time. And just once you get the goggles on, and I've never jumped out of an airplane or, you know, you've never flown before, but I can only imagine it's you're almost tricking your senses. You know, your eyes are telling you, you know, so much.
It's crazy. Like when you come over a tree or you go straight down to the earth, it does that pit in your stomach where you feel like you're in a roller coaster every single time. It feels like it gives you that tickled tummy feeling. It's nuts. It feels like you're flying. It's crazy.
Now, are you guys open yet in Topeka? Are you guys, when is your open date?
Okay, well, open date, I think, I don't really have a date set, and I've only been working on this whole scheme. Literally, the idea came about June 3rd, 2016, when I texted my buddy Keith. You know me, I don't have that large of a circle. I keep a pretty small circle of friends, and he's just one of my buddies, and he's like a mile from me. And so I texted him, I was like, hey, dude, you want to start a small business, kind of jokingly? And he said, what do you got in mind? And so I sent him one of those Facebook videos like you're talking about. That's basically what got me booked early in June. And he texted me back, you got to be kidding me. He's like, dude, I just ordered one of those racing drones. And he's like, come over and we'll go out and fly. I'm like, you got to be shitting. And so, so we went over and flied, and instantly when I put on those goggles and watched him fly, it's just like, it's the coolest video game. It's like real life. I don't even know how to explain it, man, but it makes you feel like you're a little birdie and you're flying through the air at 65 miles an hour, going around trees and over my kids' school, and just, it's just so immersive, man. It gives me goosebumps every single time I talk about it. Like right now, my entire body, I think even my private parts, well, I don't know if those are goosebumps or not.
That's actually called an erection. I'm pretty sure that's if you get a goosebumps in your penis, that's actually a good old fashioned erection. So congratulations on that. Awesome. You know, and that's just
I got a droner.
The drone. Oh man, that's, could you add that?
You just made me.
Oh man, we got to think of the female version of that and add it to like the Muff Burger and all the. There's got to be something there. I mean,
but yeah, man, that's where it all started. Was the same thing. The videos that you've been watching. That's what got me hooked when I saw that. And now ESPN just signed on for like a 6 year or 5 or 6 year extended contract, and they're working with this company called the Drone Racing League, which was started by the owner of the Dolphins and like the lead singer of the band Meet the Muse in USE.
Okay, that's right.
I don't know how those two people came about to be friends or business partners, but they started the Drone Racing League. And
well, anytime you get
go ahead.
I was gonna say, anytime you get ESPN involved, you know Fox is coming. You know, it's like the more and more.
Oh, absolutely.
Every month you just see more footage. It's like, where do you think all this incredible listeners, where do you think all this incredible footage you're getting is from? It's from drones, you know, and they're everywhere in media. And now to make it a sport is just, it's exciting. It's brilliant. It's growing. And it's surprisingly, it's pretty entertaining to watch. I find myself watching because it moves so quickly and it's so impressive, like the tight spaces that these things can make it through. And how, what are the speeds we're talking on the, on these things usually?
Well, okay, so we just had a race on Sunday, this previous Sunday, and it was in DeSoto, Kansas, right outside of Orange, at a park basically kind of right by the river. And those were going about 60, 70, 75 miles an hour. There was a couple pros there that had some rigs that would go probably 80 or 90 if they pushed them all the way out. And there was, I think the world record right now is 128 miles an hour for a drone.
Now,
for a racing drone.
That is, I was expecting 30, 35, 40, but not certainly not 70. Now,
no, yeah.
Now I want the listener, so at, again, that's at on Twitter, at Adrenaline Racing, A-D-R-O-N-E. A-L-I-N-E, Racing, R-A-C-I-N-G. And hit them up on Twitter. You know, if you guys are, you guys will have, now stop me when I'm wrong, but your own custom drones for sale, is that right?
Yeah, man, we're like going to 3D print basically our own frame out of carbon fiber, just like they come from China. And you know, we're going to basically save a lot of money on, you know, manufacture our product, but we'll be able to, you know, engrave it with my own Adrenaline logo with that. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's got a heartbeat line through it.
Yeah,
and a green drone kind of behind it.
Nice. So it'll be durable.
That's all on Facebook. If you go to Adrenaline Racing on Facebook, and there's also a group of pilots, and we just started that page yesterday, and there's 140 members, but it's under Adrenaline Racing Pilot. So if anybody's interested in getting into actually flying, other than just, you know, watching it on YouTube.
And we'll tweet all this out, listeners. So if you follow us on Twitter, we'll put the links out a couple times throughout the course of next week, just so you can click on it if you can't find it. But then we'll put the Facebook up there too. And so if you got any questions about racing or leagues or anything, just hit up Austin. He's awesome. And we'll be happy to help as always. But so you put it up in 140 within the first day.
Yeah, there's already 140 members following. And that's, okay, so one of my partners, Keith here, he pilots and he does a lot of our filming. I've got another company called EC Drone Home, and we film real estate and all kinds of things, weddings and stuff like that. And then I've got another partner, Travis, who's basically been building these drones from the ground up for like 3 or 4 years. And he's got this huge following on YouTube. And he just so happened to live in Topeka. Like, all this stuff just kind of fell in my lap within the last month and a half. And again, I've only been working on this entire business and concept for 3 months.
Yeah.
Basically, when we started it.
Well, that's how they start. I'm excited. But it sounds like the next time I'm back in Kansas City, you guys, you know, will be up and operating. But I just want our listeners at home, if you got kids, Christmas I know is coming up around the corner, and they're gonna want these. And so why go to China when you can just get them ordered and made right here in good old U.S. of A. In fact, in Topeka, Kansas, if you want to be exactly
That's very
specific.
True. Now, so, we do sell the stuff from China, don't get me wrong.
Yes.
We have a company, Banggood, and we've also got a company called GetFTV that gets some stuff. And there's actually some companies that make their own motors and batteries and all that stuff in Kansas City, in the Kansas City area that we just met this weekend, that we're going to do a lot of our business through, too. So not only are you shopping local through me, but you'll be shopping local through Kansas City also through a couple of these other companies. Getfastdrones.com. Some of our buddies that we met at these races this weekend, and they're into it, dude. Like, they design and are the inventors of one of these motors that are, it's like one of the, it's called the Tornado T1. It's like supposed to be one of the best motors in the world. And they're right there in Kansas City, man.
Now, so are you
and
looking?
That's the other thing. I'm not to interrupt, but it's such a groundbreaking sport, you know, that everybody, I mean, like, I'm getting in this at the ground level, and so are these guys in Kansas City, so. You know, we're all starting together. It's kind of a cool community that we're building, but I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Go ahead. No. I mean, look, that's why I wanted to get you on. It's because I wanted to let the listeners know that, you know, all 2,500 people that are going to listen to this episode over the course of the next 3 or 4 weeks, like, pay attention. Like, this is going to be on your TV. It's exciting. It's fun. I mean,
it's so fun.
It's flying.
I'm 38 years old, and I'm a geek about it. Like, and you know me, dude, on the road, wherever I go, when I'm traveling, I have my Xbox One.
Yes.
I'm a gamer, dude. I do not go anywhere without my games. And I have not played, since I started flying drones, I haven't played, I played the Battlefield 1 beta. But aside from that, I've not played my Xbox
One. What was the game we were playing?
Flying, dude. It's just so addicting.
What was the game we were playing after that last show we did in Topeka?
Rocket League with soccer, with the cars and stuff.
Yes. I mean, that game was fun and actually really, really fun. And what was funny was when I got back home, for some reason, I happened to be in like 5 different conversations about that game in the coming 2 weeks. Because
did you really do?
Yeah, everyone was talking about that game. I was like, wow, I know exactly what you're talking about. And yeah, it was like the pre-Pokemon Go. It was like the big thing before Pokemon hit.
Oh, it was huge. Oh. And nobody really knew. It was kind of a cult. I don't even know what you call that. It was just kind of an underground game. It was an indie game, sort of, I guess. But it blew up, man. A lot of people, I mean, I like FIFA, too. But that Rocket League is amazing, dude. I had more fun than I do playing FIFA.
Now, are the drones right now, are they limited to just, like, a racing? Or is there some sort of, like, like battle element maybe in the future to be had with these things?
Yeah, they are. I think they're doing some kind of laser tag stuff with them. And I know there's one that's sold by Terra that shoots these little balls. It's more for kids. It kind of just shoots, like, little airsoft balls at, you know, paper cuts. There's nothing that would go across the room or anything like that. But
right, right.
But, yeah, our store will have anything from those little $30, $40, $50 nano drones, and there's even these little ones that sit in your hand, dude, that have a camera on it, come with the transmitter, come with the camera, come with the goggles, and it won't, there's no way you can break anything with it. If you slammed it full speed into your TV screen, it wouldn't do anything.
But your TV,
you can race these around your house, and they go, you know, probably like 15 or 20 miles an hour.
But,
you know, in a camera inside your house, it was fantastic.
Oh, man. And again, listeners, on Twitter, at Adrenaline Racing, Adrenaline Racing, Racing. And then what was and that's Adrenaline Racing on Twitter also? Same spelling?
Yeah, it's just Adrenaline Racing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, nice.
It's a play on words like adrenaline, obviously, but the word drone is in there. So
now, what are your thoughts on the actual racing league that you'd mentioned earlier that's going to be on ESPN? Is there already a formidable, like, crew of, like, these are the best racers, or is it just a matter of the technology catching up to everyone, like, let's say, in Topeka, Kansas, and someone like yourself, you know, gaining enough experience, you know, and going out and actually winning a national tournament?
I think that's like an opportunity for anybody, because, like I said, it's such a sport and it's interesting. So there was a guy there, Brian Morris, and he just went to the Dubai race, and the winner won $1 million. And this kid, Brian Morris, well, I say kid, he's probably my age, but he's got an aerophysics engineering degree, super smart guy, obviously. But he took second place at the Dubai thing, and he was just at our little race in DeSoto. But amazing a pilot, but he just he took second place. But he travels all the way around the world and does all of these races. And the drone racing league is picking people up like him for their show on ESPN on Thursday night.
And that's
as they're kind of like, I guess, kind of team pilots to kind of make it more of a TV show, more of an entertainment. Because like I said, they're trying to sexy it up a little bit, because if you go out to a race and just kind of watch it, it's kind of boring, I guess, in a way, because you just kind of see these things fly by once in a while. So they're kind of trying to make it more of a
sport, if you will. I'm sure at home it's pretty friendly, but, you know, if you had a live feed from each racer, and I imagine it, you know, kind of like the Running Man, you know, where they like cut in and it's like, this is where this one's at, and this is where this one's at, and like, uh-oh, this one just slammed into a wall and blew up for some reason.
Exactly, dude. And at our races, that's what we do. We rent out the headsets to people so they can watch while the race is going on. You can click real time in between one of the 6 racers and watch what they're watching from their camera as they're flying, as a spectator, you know.
Okay, so as a parent or grandparent, or even if yourself, you know, listener out there, you want to get one of these, what are you looking at financially on the low end, and then maybe on the high end with these specifically the racing drones, not necessarily the ones for like filming and
anything
stuff.
Anything from probably, you know, maybe $50 or so. That's kind of on the little cheap like more toy side of it.
Okay.
You know, I'm talking maybe 30 to 50, 60 bucks. And then,
sorry about the ambulance driving by here. I think it's
no problem.
One of the perks of living in, being in downtown San Diego is you get all the riffraff. But anyway, so $50.
The safest city in the world. But, so 30 to 50 bucks, would get you kind of one of the toys. And then, when you start getting to the racers, okay, so we're going to have a build party here at our shop about a week after we open, where we're going to basically sell these drone kits to people, and then we're actually going to show you how to build it, because we're not going to be there all the time when you wreck, and you're going to wreck a lot, and an arm might come off, and you're going to have to kind of know how to put that back on and put that back together, you know, because we're not going to be able to fix
everything. Unbelievable. So you're going to, like, make...
So this build party we're doing... I'm sorry to interrupt.
No.
The build party we're doing is the kit is like $112, $113, and that'll get you going, and that'll get you one that flies all around. But then you have to get the transmitter, and we're gonna push these things called, well, I call them tri-anus because I'm a comedian, but it's called the Tyrannus controller.
Okay, the Tyrannus. Now you say transmitter, and that's what is that, like the beacon? That's
the little handheld controller that looks like the little helicopter controller. They're called, you know, like a little remote control, but they're called a transmitter.
Okay.
And so basically, those range from anywhere from basically $250 all the way up to the sky's the limit. But that Tyrannus is what the pros use, and they even say that's pretty much the best one on the market right now. And it's only $250. And I'm not sure, you know, what makes theirs the best, because I haven't tried them all. You know, I don't know how to compare them. But, so that's basically what you're starting at. If
okay.
you get into a drone for about $100, you want that Tyrannus remote that's about $250 or $200. And then you've got everything you need to go fly. Then you add a camera. The cameras are only about $20. And then you add goggles, and then you're talking, goggles anywhere from $35 to sky's the limit on the goggles.
Right.
So for $35, you can have a low-end pair of goggles that'll get you FPV sight, and then you're pretty much running for, you know, $180, $200, and that's with goggles, transmitter, and then the drone. The transmitter is an extra $250. So under $500 will get you fine.
Right. So if you walk in to your store, or, you know, hit you up on Twitter, go online. So really, if you had $500, you could get going and be relative and have a good time with what you had, and be comparable in as far as, like, maybe competitive if your skills were sharp.
Absolutely.
With everyone else.
And there are package stuff that we're also going to sell that comes with the remote and the goggles that'll be, you know, $150.
Okay.
To $200. But, you know, that might not be as competitive. You know, you're
gotcha.
Not going to be able to win a race with that, but you're still going to be able to put the goggles on and still have the same experience. But it's not going to go 70 miles an hour, it'll go 45 miles an hour.
Right. And what, you know, kid, and what 16-year-old needs, like, a brand new Porsche? You want to start off with, like, a Honda Accord or a Volkswagen.
Exactly. Yeah. I was just trying to give you the range.
Yeah.
From 30,
no, absolutely.
To $30 all the way up to, you know, you could get crazy and probably put about $1,200 into one rig and then add another pair of $600 goggles if you wanted to.
See, I would like to think that our listeners are financially so well off that someone would like to contact you and drop $1,800 on one of these things for, like, the top of the
Absolutely.
line, like something that they may have sold as Sharper Image in the late 90s at some point, if it were if it were available.
Well, we're also opening up a track here. I'm looking at a little bit of land here right outside of Topeka, and once we get that up and going, it'll just be a permanent track, and then people can actually come and rent the goggles and the drones and stuff like that. If they don't want to get financially vested into their own rig, they could come out for X amount of dollars an hour and use our equipment also. So,
and that might be a good way to go, just to test out to see if you like it. And I would like to believe that this, now our third or fourth generation of video game kids have grown up now on video games, that our hand and eye and thumb and controller reflexes have got to be incredible right now.
My 8-year-old is crazy good at, like, every video game, and you know, I don't get to play as much as I did, but even now, when I was still playing, he still kicked my ass at 8.
That might be better, just to go out there and rent, you know, $100 worth of flight hours, and just to see where you're at.
After I said that, it just makes me sound like a bad parent. You're like, all you do is, like, kid play games.
Yeah, what? Well, guess what? That's everybody that I know. So I would say.
But yeah, that's another cool thing, man. You can take that Tyrannus or any of those controllers, hook it into a PC, and they have flight sims that we'll actually have here in our store. And there's a big cut-out piece of grass in my store. It looks like, you know, the 2-inch-long grass, and you sit in one of these lawn chairs, hook the controller, the actual flight controller, into the PC, and then it's a 98% accurate flight sim. And so you can actually train yourself to fly without, the cost of ruining a $180 drone your first time out. You can go get some practice first.
Nice. And again, listeners, that's on Twitter and on Facebook, Drone Aligned Racing, ADRONEALINE, Racing, RACING. And can we expect maybe an Drone Aligned Racing Invitational next spring once the winner out in Topeka? That might be fun. Just bring in like the best regional, or screw it, make it national. I don't care. But you know, Sportsaholics.
Yeah, we gave $100 away at this last race, and a bunch of shirts and Adrenaline Racing shirts. And there was a lot of people out there. I was surprised. It was a beautiful day too. But a WIBW News for Topeka came out all the way, and man, gave us some really good footage. Put it on their news, and then John James, the like head producer of WIBW. It was such a good story, sent it on to Chicago, and then that guy contacted me, I can't remember his name, Dan Knoll or something like that, and said he's basically the head shit of CBS and all this, and wanted to use that story, but since we used, we shot some of the footage for it with one of our photo drones, the Inspire, the DJI Inspire, and so he kind of had to ask my permission to use that, but it was going to go to national feeds and all across the world. In every news media,
you're like,
out
yeah,
there.
And yeah, like, by all means, please.
Like,
by all means, see, that's man, congratulations on that. I mean, I know comedians and musicians that have tried 10 years to get that much publicity.
I know, and our store's not even open yet. I was like, this is crazy.
No, that's good. I mean, look, I wanted to get you on because I was excited about it, and that's one of the good things about Twitter and the Facebook pages. You can always hit up Austin if you want to get something. You can get it now. It's just, you know, the storefront, you know, is being, you know, constructed. And it seems like, it's judging especially off of your Facebook post, you guys have been in there. Seems like logging a lot of hours and everything looks great. And, but yeah, man, Austin, thanks for your time. I appreciate you coming on and kind of filling in the listener on the future of drones, or specifically drone racing, and kind of where that's going. And if you're in the Midwest, Wichita, Kansas City, Topeka, Leavenworth, if you just got out of federal prison, you know what? There are these new things called drones that are fun. I mean, you thought masturbating for 15 years was exciting? You got to come check out one of these drones. Austin, again, thank you.
We'll have an e-store, too. Our website gets done. It'll be full e-commerce, so you can order our stuff from anywhere in the world. We'll send it to you from Topeka, Kansas, brother.
Perfect, perfect. Well, you continue with the hard work, and wish you nothing but success. And
thanks, man. We'll talk. I love you like a brother, John.
We'll talk soon, and hopefully be back in Kansas City soon, and come out to Topeka and catch up. Get some flying in, man. Oh man, look forward to it. All right, you take care. And the town lit up. The world got still. I'm learning to fly. The hardest thing were the good old days may not return, and the rocks might melt, and the seed may burn. I'm learning to fly, but I ain't got wings. Oh, that, see, now I just, when I go back, I'm going to go immediately just go racing. And I don't know if that's for 2 or 3 hours, but I feel like it's going to be till my thumb fall off. So, again, Adrenaline Racing, hit him up on Facebook, on Twitter. I've come to a couple realizations. my wife has helped me recently come to a few of these realizations that, you know, there's no playoff baseball this year in Kansas City, and which I'm fine with. Back-to-back years after 29 straight years is unbelievable in itself, and to win the World Series after losing is the way to go. I mean, winning against the Giants would have been great, because then it stops their every 2 year thing after two. You know, we wouldn't have had to listen to it for all of the last two seasons. So that would have been nice. But then to lose then to the Mets, you know, to win then be let down, because I mean, just getting there in 14 was a victory. Anyone would agree with that. You know, if someone in, you know, Pittsburgh were to get to the World Series and lose, they would be satisfied. I think that they would be satisfied with that. And then, you know, and then to come back the next year and to get the victory, it was amazing. And then, and our next guest, Brent, he and I lived through a lot of incredible Royals moments. The biggest being the wild card game against Oakland, and we had just a great time with the win, but met some incredible people and had kind of this ritual of how we got to the game through a certain entrance, and that we followed that same procedure, went and ate the same Arthur Bryant's barbecue, sat at the same table, ordered the same food before the ALDS game against the Angels, which they went on to win a few days after the wild card game and sweep the Angels that year. But we've experienced a lot of Royal stuff together and just baseball stuff over the years. And so as he was traveling in Ohio this week, he called me. He was saying that he's like, hey, I'm going to go see this Royals game. And so I thought, what better opportunity? He's never been to a game, a Royals game in Cleveland, or I guess any Indians game in Cleveland. And so I was like, yeah, we'll have him on, talk a little tribe, talk about his experience at the game. But before we have him on, I definitely wanted to get the listeners at home just warmed up with a little bit of with some clips from Major League, of course, a classic from '89, one of the best baseball movies of all time. But yeah, you know, I don't think anyone would argue with that.
Sensation Ricky Vaughn on the pitch now. You can close the book on Kelner.
Thank God.
Relax, we're only four runs down. We're still in this game.
You take it to him.
Oh, all right.
Look, man, guy gets a second, first sign indicator.
Vaughn, a juvenile delinquent in the offseason in his major league debut.
I'm gonna light your ass up, meat.
Vaughn into the windup in his first offering. Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed. Ball four. Ball eight. Low, and Vaughn has walked the bases loaded on 12 straight pitches. Boy, how can these guys lay off pitches that close?
Just
wild thing! You make my heart sing.
Chief Wampum in the outfield.
You walk everything.
Taylor, what are you doing back up here?
Couldn't cut it in the Mexican League.
That's your wife and my kids.
Vaughn in deep trouble here with Clue Haywood, last year's American League
home
run.
Couldn't cut it in the Mexican League. That's hilarious.
Vaughn kicks, fires. Here is a swing and a drive toward left field and deep. Oh, boy.
No way. Too high.
It is gone off the reservation. A grand slam home run for Haywood.
If I can strike anyway.
What do you go? Too high? What does that mean, too high?
Too high.
So Vaughn is off to a rocky
too
start.
Too high.
Yes, I mean. The bases with one swing.
Not too high. Too hard, right?
First, it was really high.
Who gives a shit? It's gone.
Oh, man. Just, look, a classic. I mean, in that movie is what kept the Indians, like, I just never got it, you know, growing up. I'm like, how did the Indians get a movie? Because they were horrible. I mean, obviously, they were so bad that there was a movie made about how bad they were. And then it was like, as soon as that movie came out, they got good again. I mean, you had, you know, Manny Ramirez, Jim Thome, a bunch of great pitching, you know, the tail end of Earl Hershiser's career, and, you know, Kenny Lofton's and Alomar's, and, you know, they just had incredible teams. So they managed to flip it around pretty quickly. But I mean, if you haven't seen Major League in a couple of years, do yourself a favor. Go rent it on Netflix or Fandango or Hulu or wherever you would find it. Maybe you already own a copy on DVD. Whatever you got to do, just throw it in. It's like 96 minutes, not even 2 hours, so check it out. But all right, when we get back, we'll be with my longtime friend Brent Benson and North American traveler and enormous baseball fan coming to you, the listener, live from Cleveland. I was going to say beautiful Cleveland, Ohio. I'll just say from Cleveland, Ohio, coming to you from Cleveland, Ohio. Okay, so we're back with a longtime friend of mine, Brent Benson. He just left what I'm going to just refer to as Jacobs Field, Progressive Field in Cleveland, Ohio. He just watched Joaquin Soria blow his eighth game for the Kansas City Royals, which is kind of funny considering they're seven games out of the wild card. But you can't pin that all on one guy. It's just kind of funny how every time he comes in, something bad happens. But Brent, like I said, we've known each other forever. I just wanted to bring you on Sportsaholics to just talk about your experience at the fake Jacobs Field. How was it? How were the fans? I mean, were they good? Did you have a good time?
The fans were great. The people that worked there were great. It's more like Jacobs Stun Field. I don't know if you call it Jacobs Progressive Field. I don't know. It's in the same location as the old Jacobs Field. They just tore it down and rebuilt it in the same spot.
Okay.
I don't really know what Jacob Jr. Field.
I see. So I was under the impression that they had rebuilt it, I know, like in 96 or something like that. I mean, it's not shiny new, but I mean, it's relatively new. It's like a Honda Accord new. It might be 8 or 10 years old, but for a
Honda. You don't even know what year it is, but the Honda Accord just keeps going whatever
right,
year.
Right, exactly.
Year
I mean, I watched the games. It looks like a nice stadium. There's not really any eyesores. I like that it's right next to the river. And, you know, I've heard a lot of good things. We have a comedian, Jason Lawhead, on the show a couple times a year. You know, obviously after a big Cavaliers victory, their first world championship, I think it was 56 years, however long it was. It was not important. But he was, you know, he was saying it's a good sports town. I mean, do you get that sense walking around that there's sports fans around every corner?
Well, certainly the way you preface it, talking about a Cavaliers victory, they're fresh off the Cavaliers win. Fresh meaning the same thing that it means to Kansas City about the Royal victory. They're like exalted because of the recent victory.
Well, it's
the best way I could put it.
Actually, it's kind of nice because Brent and I actually were at the Royals parade together. We ventured out downtown at about 10 a.m. on, I believe that was November 4th or 5th and of 2015. And out of nowhere, right at noon, skies open up, sunny blue skies, out of nowhere. Like, it was incredible.
In November?
Midwest November. Yeah. Unbelievable. And so you know what that's like to be in Kansas City fresh off, you know, it had been 30 years since the last World Series. I mean, is there a similar kind of buzz around Cleveland? Like, and by buzz, do I mean like, you know, every bank has got a Cleveland Cavaliers player sponsor, you know, and all the car dealerships say congratulations, Cav, billboards, all that kind of stuff. Is that stuff everywhere?
No, I would say minimal to non-existent.
Really?
I haven't seen a Cavs thing anywhere in town, to be honest. But I haven't really been here that long. I've been here for about 12 hours.
Okay.
But what I did walk into when I walked into the stadium, when I talked to the first, I like to talk to the people who work at the stadium because the first thing I do when I walk into the stadium is try and get, you know, local knowledge, because local knowledge is the highest knowledge. And what are the sweet spots in the stadium? Where would you watch a game from if you had, you know, to watch a game? That kind of information. And I ended up talking to a guy who, he was like, I just started working here 2 weeks ago, and to be honest, I just moved to Cleveland like a year ago, and I think this town is the shit. Because as soon as I moved here, the Cavaliers won a world championship, and I was downtown when hundreds of thousands of people were just living in pure love
going
for like
nuts.
24 hours.
Nice. So he was kind of like a fresh take, fresh eyes. Never hadn't really experienced any of the misery of being a Cleveland sports fan. Just kind of swooped in and got to reap the benefits of the championship.
Oh yeah, he didn't say it was all pure love. He said it was all pure love and chaos. I don't know what that meant, but you and I both witnessed the Kansas City's love. I don't think that's tied any chaos to it, but.
Yeah.
Whatever that means. He showed me a bunch of pictures and it looked really great. And then he pointed me in the right directions of where to go throughout the stadium. And then the rest of the time, I mean, there was just beautiful people everywhere I went. Just, hey, how you doing? And you don't got a blue shirt on or an Indian. Like wherever I stood, I never stood for 10 minutes without somebody like saying hello.
In a welcoming hello. Like, so were you in a royal shirt? I guess I should get that out. Ask that.
Nope, just an unknown black shirt.
Okay, so you just went in as a ambiguous sports fan, no logos.
Ambiguous sports fan, that's the way to put it. Yeah.
Okay, very nice. Which that's a weird. You know, I don't watch a lot of games that way. I never have. Even if I go to, a Padres game, I'm wearing Royals stuff, and I'll see a lot of other people wearing Royals stuff, and that right there is a special moment. Like when you're wearing your team's gear and you run into another fan of your team in a completely non-related team event.
Totally, totally unpartisan, not even partisan or bipartisan, just unpartisan. You're wearing clothes from a completely different team, shirt and hat. Yeah, I know how you do it.
Well, it was at a Padres game this summer. It was crazy. I was wearing a KC Monarchs, and then I had a Cincinnati Royals shirt on. And then this guy came up and wanted to get a picture with me because he had an Oakland A's and a Sacramento Kings. So it was weird. I was wearing like the Royals that moved to the Kansas City Kings and then moved to Sacramento. And then I was wearing, it was like an old, almost like KC Athletics hat, which then go to, from Philly to Kansas City, then to Oakland. So we were kind of wearing the exact same team stuff, but from that all had completely different cities on it. It was like, I was like, this is a really random, obscure sports photo right here. This is nice. I like this.
Yeah, it's a totally like 50 years in depth photo. You have no stake in the team's playing, first of all.
No.
And then on top of that, you're talking like 50 years of sports memorabilia.
I got Oscar Robinson's team's T-shirt on, is how long ago that is. But so to get back to the it's Progressive Field, right? And that's the insurance, not the company that makes the soup?
I don't know. I really don't know. I guess it's the insurance.
Yeah, we'll assume it's the insurance. Their soup is delicious, by the way. Listeners, the split pea with or without ham is delicious.
It's Progresso. Okay, we can eliminate that. It's Progresso.
Oh, it is Progresso? Okay, see. I don't really know. But, I just assume. I can't hear
take,
very well. I make up words a lot.
First take walking into the stadium, immediately I was like already judging when I walked in. Not trying to judge, but the first thing I saw was a big sign that, it's a big neon sign that says Home Run Porch. And I was like, that whole Home Run Porch is in foul territory. What the hell is that? And I asked a couple of people, and they're like, yeah, it's kind of weird that the Budweiser Home Run Porch happens to be in foul territory. It reminded me of the commercials back in the day when, like, the White Sox guys were like, we're called the White Sox, but we wear black socks with white shirts. That, and why is the foul pole in fair territory?
The pesky pole in Boston. I don't actually remember that commercial. But that's weird that they would put the home run party porch in foul territory. That just sums up the Indians. That's why they're not going to win this year. And there was a big article, a lot of controversy stirred up earlier today when one of the local beat writers wrote, because of Carrasco going down, and I think it was Salazar. Anyway, two major injuries on their pitching staff. So September 17th was the official day that the Cleveland Indians season ended because of those two losses to their pitching staff. Which,
Oh yeah.
And that just shows they don't
talk about that.
They don't have any fight as a sports fan. They're just willing to just roll over and accept that, yeah, we lose a lot, so we're comfortable doing it. And I think that an article like that kind of hard, and then you go in and just get hot and you start sweeping people, and you know, nobody saw that coming, and you don't get that opportunity by announcing that your season's over 2 weeks before. And you know, again, this was a writer, and no one had probably heard of this guy before he wrote this, and I don't know his name, and even if I did, I probably wouldn't repeat it just because it's ridiculous. But he does have a couple good points. But to write off the fact that the Indians could get hot, I mean, their team's bat, like everyone on their team's batting right around 300, I swear, tonight when I was watching
right
the
around.
Game. And,
yep.
and like, yep. Lindor is just a beast. I mean, what he can do offensively. And then second base, oh, man, I can't think of the guy's name right now. But, you know, 75 RBIs, 23, 24, 25 home runs out of second base. You know, not a lot of teams are getting that kind of offensive production. Unless,
I know we're not.
Except for the Twins, like Dozier up in Minnesota. But, I mean, did I feel like when I went to the Mariners game earlier this year, I felt the fan interactions that I had were good ones. They were smart fans. They a lot of good baseball references being yelled out and shouted out. Did you feel like the Indians fans were intelligent baseball-wise?
All right. So on that note, I got to get to the amount of fans to start with.
Okay.
So when I showed up, the whole upper deck was empty. And as you know from that wild card game when we were walking around, like every inning, in a new spot. And I don't like to stand. I don't like to sit. I just like to stand. And as I was walking around, a woman stopped me. She was like, "You can't go over there." I said, "What are you talking about? There's nobody in the whole right field upper deck." She says, "No, it's because we've closed it. Because they don't have fans to fill the seats. So they closed 20 sections of the upper deck. Like, they just don't sell tickets, and they don't allow people to go in those areas."
Like Oakland A style, where they, except for they don't put the tarps over it like they do in Oakland?
No, they just put up big barriers, like the steel piping barriers that you can't walk in.
Okay, I see. They barricade off the hallways leading to the actual seats. So you're kind of bummed as a sports fan. You walk in and you're saying your team's in first place, ready to clinch the AL Central for the first time in 9 years. And they're closing off sections because they can't get enough fans to the games?
Yeah, and I said, "Oh, is it because it's a Monday, or, you know, is it typical because it's Monday, or whatever, you know?" I see you guys in first place. I imagine what Kansas City does in first place, and they just fill seats. But they just closed whole sections. If I had... It's hard to say. A 40,000 capacity seat arena, and they had 15 to 20% of it just closed to the public. And I don't know how they decide that that's a good idea. You know, really, if you're just handing out tickets for a dollar, they're still going to come in and buy hot dogs and whatever.
Right, and they're downtown, right? I mean, that's one of the draws of having a stadium in the middle of your city is it's equal time for everybody in the metropolis to commute downtown.
Yes.
20 minutes, you know, at the most.
I'm with you there. You got all the people right here.
Okay. So that's a little bit of a letdown or disappointment, you know, and obviously the Royals, Soria comes in and again for the eighth time this season blows a game and is credited with the loss. And that's not even counting the games that he's like put men on and then ended up we lost because of Soria. But I am in a roundabout saying he is the reason, even with all the injuries, that we did not make the playoff or might not make the playoffs. Never say never. So how did that stack up? Because you were in Cincinnati a few days earlier. How did that stack up to Cincinnati?
Cincinnati was 14,000 people, and it felt like 2004 Royals. And I don't know if you, I know that you remember a Royals fan who we went to college with named Josh Smith, who coined the jingle in 2004 or 5, whichever one of those years, coined the jingle, "Royals baseball, sit wherever you want."
Yeah.
It, it felt like that, totally, except for all the places where people could sit, they had closed to people. It was weird. I just couldn't imagine, and I still, having walked around and talked to people and asked, like, you know, do you think they'll fill the seats in playoff time? And they were like, dear God, I hope so.
Like, that was even in question, whether they would fill up Progressive Field if they were in the playoffs? That's just...
That's people that have been working there for 15 years.
That's like...
Who have been working there since the new stadium. They were like, I've never seen the stadium really sell out since the 90s. You know, the Kenny Lofton, Albert Bell, Jim Thome year.
And that was different, too, because the Browns weren't even in Cleveland. There was no competition. that's part of it. I mean, the Cleveland was amazing. I mean, they had great teams. But, yeah, the Browns were gone, and the Cavaliers were, you know, the Cavaliers. LeBron was still in middle school, I think, so they're still a couple years away from salvation. What about the stadium? Like the Reds, I mean, the Cincinnati Reds Cincinnati has had a professional baseball team, I want to say, since the late 1800s.
The Reds Stadium, I feel like they were like 1880. And the Indians were like 1901. I walked through Heritage Park. Dude, the park is beautiful. They brought all the really cool stuff from the old stadium and reincarnated it in the new stadium. Out in left field, it's just like old metal bleachers, and you know, the guy from Major League, you know, the guy that's just like pounding on the drum.
Chief Wampum or whatever.
Sitting out in left field thinking in the sixth inning, like, isn't there supposed to be a guy that just bangs on a drum? And thinking like of old Jacobs Field. And as I was sitting there, this guy walks up with a drum, and I was sitting one section away. He just walks up with the drum, and he just starts beating it. And everybody, once he got in, you know, that's when the Tribe really took off.
Yeah,
they got momentum.
It's weird because why isn't he doing that in the first inning? And like Kansas City, I mean, were there any signs? I know Royals games has turned into like a WWF, WCW, WWE type atmosphere where everyone's got a sign like it's Monday Night Raw. Was there any of that in Cleveland?
What do you mean like that? I don't really know what you're getting at.
I mean, look, every time you go to Kauffman Stadium, there's someone that says, I came from Bangor, Maine to watch a Royals game. I traveled. Remember that couple from Alaska? I came 4,800 miles from Alaska. I came from Germany. I've seen that sign. Put me on. It's my son's birthday. You know, that what speed do. Draw Dyson signs. Whatever the sign. A play on Cain and Abel for Cain. Cain is Abel. I've seen that one a bunch.
Minimal signs. I thought two the whole time.
Okay. So not a lot of fandom.
As far as like the crazy diehard fans, I didn't see them. It just seemed like a regular I don't really have too much to speak from as far as like fans from all over the country. I've been to a couple of games outside of Kauffman, but it didn't seem like a team in first place to me.
It wasn't
the best way.
It wasn't an event. It didn't. People weren't excited about being there. There wasn't an excitement in the crowd at all.
No, not really. And to be playing like the World Series defenders in the, you know, one of the final weekends or weeks of the baseball season, I would have expected, you know, what I saw from the Royals 2 years ago or even last year, where people were, you know, just so excited to be in it, they couldn't help but want to be around it. But it was more like they were still functioning in the terms of, hey, let's get our family and go to the game and maybe we'll win. And
I think it's a lot to do with the
like a team that was just about to burst into the playoffs who hadn't been in 3-4 years, which has been for Cleveland.
You know, I think the team picks that up. You know, that's why after every, you know, every Royals victory, a player goes up and says thanks to the fans. The fans all the 20,000 that stay after the game cheer and go nuts. You know, so I mean, if the players are kind of sensing that the fans aren't really, really there, whereas they saw the 1. Whatever million that came out for the Cavs, it sounds like they're probably hungover from the Cavs championship. They still are just on cloud nine. They don't care, probably. I'm just assuming. I mean, if the Chiefs won the Super Bowl last year, I would have been like, that's sweet. But do you remember what the Royals just did? So I think it's kind of something. It's probably something similar to that. And as far as Cincinnati goes, their pitching staff just set a new major league record for the most home runs given up in an entire season, and they still have 11 games to play. So, you know, that is a lost cause there. And I'm sure if you ever wanted to know, like, when the Royals were losing 105 games or whatever it was, 99 games in 2005 is what I meant with that year. It sounds like you can just go to Cincinnati and relive that all over again. A lot of young talent that will be shipped out eventually because they don't want to pay for it. Pretty much sums up the Reds right now. But they have a lot of young pitching that they could ship off for more young talent in the years to come. So look out, Reds fans. It's going to get exciting. So where are you heading?
There was a point that I wanted to say about the stadium, its location, and versus the argument in Kansas City versus, like, Cleveland has their ballpark downtown. The Reds have their ballpark downtown. Kansas City's is removed from downtown pretty far.
Six or seven miles, something.
Kansas City, there's been the whole argument of, like, should we move that ballpark downtown just because it'll be good for bars and business and restaurants and everything. And after experiencing both of them, it really is a hassle, the fact that they're all downtown, because not only are people trying to leave to get out of town from 3 to 5 o'clock, but people are also trying to crowd the downtown, trying to get into the game. And some of them might be people who work downtown or live downtown, and, you know, they're not traveling in or out of that time frame. But
I see what you're saying, but that's
in or out.
That's a sacrifice.
It's a big headache, but Kauffman is clean and easy to get in and out of the game.
Yeah, I mean, but on the other side of that too, Kauffman. If you drew a 1 mile radius around Kauffman, there's probably 40 meth labs. You know, it's way out by Raytown, Independence, 7-8 miles from downtown. And
if you've ever driven around the Leeds district of Kansas City, you don't even need to know about the stadium, but you know, driving around, there's definitely some meth labs.
Yeah, and there's no copper in anything. It's all been stripped and sold for meth. Also. But what I was going to, I mean, that's, look, if you have stuff going on downtown, you want your downtown to thrive. That means traffic, whether it's going in or going out. That's just, you know, living here in downtown San Diego, when the Padres games come up, it's great. It's busy. You look out, you're off your balcony, and there's Padres people walking around, and even though they're horrible. And that's just the price you pay to get people, to get those, you know, maybe 15 or 20,000 people, however many were at the game tonight, you know, down there. And I know that's a cluster, getting in, getting out, and that's a pain in the butt. I'm not sure what Cleveland's public transportation's like, but, you know.
Tonight's attendance is 21,000.
21,000? Okay. And that's probably an actual attendance, too, and not just tickets purchased. One of those old scams. But so between the two, before you get out of here, which would you recommend? If you could go back right now, would you say you could go to one or the other? Both teams would be playing the Royals, so there's no indifference there as far as the competition. Which ballpark would you go back to? The Cincinnati Reds, which is called, is that River?
I'll give a nod to both. I really enjoyed the people and the atmosphere here in Cleveland. I got to give it to the people in Cleveland. I mean, it feels like going to a game in Kauffman. In Kansas City.
Very friendly.
And then in Cincinnati, though, the difference, you know, what they really make up the difference is, like, availability of everything. They got way better beer options, first of all, but then the ability to, like, walk up and grab beers. Like, they got this big wall of coolers where you just walk up blind, you know, not in the line, and you just grab a beer and then walk up to a counter. It's it's unlike anything I've ever seen in a ballpark. And you do the same thing really with all the hot dogs and everything. They got so many options.
That almost sounds like a minor league kind of baseball vibe.
For Cincinnati?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would give it more of a minor league vibe, but like an old school baseball vibe. And then really, I couldn't really separate too much between Kauffman and Progressive Field here for Cleveland. It's just a really cool vibe, and the people were really cool. And the same with Cincinnati. I mean, it's from the Midwest, and really nice people. I like to give the nod to both.
Okay. We'll leave it at that.
Yankee Stadium. I remember Yankee Stadium, and it was like
old Yankee.
20-minute wait for a beer.
Yankee Stadium.
Or a hot dog, or you know, whatever you wanted. It was always a wait. But at these two stadiums, they had it all worked out.
Now, where else have you been? You've been to Kauffman, obviously, old Yankee Stadium. Where else? What other major league parks have you been to?
Well,
I know we went to a Dodgers game.
We went
to that Dodgers game. That was incredible. But anyway, go ahead.
That was a wild, sweet game. And other games, you know, like I've been to, not Comiskey, but the new Pinwheel Stadium for
White Sox. Okay.
That stadium is also in the same tier, like I mentioned earlier when I was talking to you about how the ballpark at Arlington is like a ball. It just happens to have a baseball stadium inside of it.
Right. Yeah, I don't really like
that. That was kind of like that vibe I got.
In Chicago?
The White Sox stadium.
Okay, nice. And what about Detroit, Minnesota?
But these are like clear-cut baseball stadiums.
Yeah, yeah. Where you walk in and it feels like, you know, it's Field of Dreams type. You're like, okay, there could be some ghosts of former players running around, whereas the ballpark of Arlington, you go there, and you're like, well, they just leveled like a shopping mall to put this down.
Yeah.
It's like a baseball.
What's also really cool about right here in Cleveland is that they got Heritage Park out in center field, where they pulled all the, I mean, they've got a really long history, and I didn't really spend too much time walking around the Great American Ballpark, but definitely in Cleveland, you can walk around everywhere and check out their whole the Hall of Fame guys.
All the Bob Feller stuff.
Larry Digby or Doby.
Larry Doby, yeah.
I can't remember his name.
Larry Doby.
For sure. But they got this huge Heritage Park out in center field, and it's really cool. You can check out all the history of. Yeah, I spent 2 innings just walking around, not even watching the game, walking around their Hall of Fame. Just Cleveland Indians Hall of Fame. That was really cool. Not just their Hall of Fame, but like they incorporate every Negro League team that they've ever been that has ever been affiliated with them. And
it's an overall baseball museum.
Like, total incorporation of the whole history.
Okay.
Of the city of baseball, not just Indians baseball.
Nice. Well, I'm glad. So where, from now on, where are you launching to after Cleveland? Are you going to have the opportunity to catch any more baseball games on your travels?
Possibly. I was actually, right before this phone call, looking up a October 1st baseball game at Fenway. And they're playing, it'll be Red Sox-Blue Jays October 1st. So maybe I'll be able to hit that game.
That would be incredible. There'll be a lot on the line riding on that one. Possibly a division, but it seems like the Red Sox are kind of running away with it, but Brent
and definitely a big poppy, you know, like final hurrah.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool. That would definitely be worth it. I know it was kind of nice watching them just at the All-Star weekend. I mean, during the Home Run Derby, just kind of, you know, hanging out. You're like, he looked great. He looked like it. It's, you know, it's a shame he's retiring. But I'll tell you what, if you end up making that game, we're going to do this again, but with Fenway, if you don't mind. But
that sounds great.
But hey, man, thanks for your time and travel safe. And yeah, we'll talk soon, all right?
All right, thanks, man. But never know something no long since don't be keeping these niggas up off me. See, get us up a whole block. Spin a cup of beer, stuck. Smoke a lot of weed on the wake fur. Up, wake fur. Up, wake up, it's wake us to wake up. All right, and there you have it. That is, I was kind of surprised when I heard that they weren't 20,000. You just clinched the division. You get 20,000. What are you taking a couple weeks off before the playoffs, saving up your money? I don't know what
That doesn't make sense to me. And I thought, shame on you, Cleveland. I know you got the Cavs, world, you're world champions in basketball, but I mean, they're the Cavs. I mean, it's the NBA. There's no history really there. I mean, the Indians have been rocking you guys since the 20s or since 06 or whenever, a long time. And now that it's been 9 years since you get to the division and you draw 20,000 fans, that just, I don't know, it just doesn't really, doesn't sit too well. But Brent, continue, just like I said, be safe, drive safe. If you can make Fenway, by all means, let us know. I'd love to get your thoughts on that. I'm still waiting for the day that I get to go to Fenway, preferably against the Royals, but I don't even really care. I would go against anyone just for the experience. I mean, my parents have toured Fenway, and I'm like, good for them. They're in Boston. They want to do historical stuff. That's on their list, and I'm jealous. I want a picture of myself standing in Fenway in a frame that says Fenway, like they gave me for Christmas, almost to taunt me, like, here's a picture of us enjoying somewhere where you would really like to be, and you're not, but here's a picture of us enjoying it. And, you know, good. Look, I'm happy, obviously, that they went, but it somehow catapulted it up on my baseball list. I'm like, you know what, let me get to Fenway a lot sooner than I previously wanted to actually get there. And also, a big thank you this week, again, to Austin Evan Wright, Adrenaline Racing. Hit him up on Facebook. If you got any questions, Twitter also. And if you want to buy a drone, I suggest do it from Austin. One, he's a great guy. And they're really, you're going to want to get something from someone who's going to like stand behind it, you know, be good and know what they're doing. And he's got a good team there. They're building their own racers. They're working with people on the cutting edge of the industry. And which is all things you want included in anything you're buying. And but again, go hit them up on Facebook and Twitter. Austin, thanks for coming on. We'll definitely have you back in the future, preferably face-to-face when I'm out there actually flying around. I'll tell you what, we'll do a live broadcast at the Adrenaline Invitational next spring, whenever you're doing that, live in Topeka, Kansas City. Wherever it ends up being, we'll be there. I promise you that. But here's the catch. We got to do a comedy show later that night. Deal. And speaking of last plugs before we get out of this week, episode number 113 coming to a close. I will be in Springfield, Missouri this Saturday, September 24th at the Blue Room, a brand new comedy club in Springfield. It's a great place. You guys haven't had a club down there in a long time. Please come out. Saturday night, 8 p.m., the Blue Room, Springfield, Missouri. If you can't be there, you know someone that lives in the area. They live in Bolivar. They live in Osceola. They live in Joplin, Carthage. Call them up. It's a 45-minute drive, an hour. Just tell them to come down. They'll have a great time. Also, if you're in L.A., you know the deal. Show up, go up, open mic every Sunday night at the Comedy Store. Eric Marino hosts that show. Starts at 10 p.m., and if you want to get up on stage, come on, try your hand. You know, if you already get up on stage, come down, go up. He'll give you that opportunity to go up at the World Famous Comedy Store in the Belly Room on a Sunday night. And again, that's every Sunday night, 10 p.m., except for the last Sunday of every month. The show up, go up, open mic, again on Twitter, all that good stuff. But yeah, if you need any other information on shows, anything, obviously always follow us on Twitter, Sportsaholics, at Sportsaholics, Instagram, and John, J-O-N, is here.com. And guys, we appreciate you listening, driving to work, girls, driving to work, driving from work, working out, running on a treadmill. I hope right now that you look down and you're like, I just finished this episode of Sportsaholics, and at the same time, just ran 5 miles on a treadmill. So hopefully we're doing that. We want to, you know, make working out easier, driving easier, just whatever you're doing, easier and more enjoyable. But we appreciate you guys helping spread the word. Listenership's going up. I feel like it helps that we're actually putting the show out every week on Wednesday. I know we were late by a couple days last week, but that happens. You'll have to excuse that. But I want you to understand, like, I'm moving tomorrow. We've got boxes all over, and I want to make sure it's out on Wednesday. So I'm here and I'm doing it. I like doing it. And I wanted to just say, I think we found the day, and it's Wednesday. If you don't like, I like what I do like about it. What's kind of bad, the football stuff's all stale. Like, I don't want to talk about the football because there's already a game tomorrow that starts next week. So I kind of like that because I don't want to beat the NFL. Like, it doesn't matter. The guy that's leading your fantasy league in points, guess what? He's getting hurt in 3 weeks. And then what are you going to do? You're going to have to start A.J. Yeldon or whoever you got on your bench that's scoring 9 points. And that's going to happen to your team, your buddy's team, because, you know, Eli Manning's going down or his quarterback's getting hurt or Cam Newton's getting cut. Like, every week it changes. And I love it so much. Like I mentioned 2 weeks ago, I've been doing two leagues. And I'm in the La Jolla Comedy Store League, and I'm not – look, this isn't going to be my guy came back, scored the touchdown points, and I'm not breaking down my whole fantasy league here for you. What I'm saying is I got so much shit from everyone. I came in, I drafted – look, my team looks like I drafted fantasy in like 2012, 13. Like, I got Larry Fitzgerald, Cam Newton. I just got a lot of safe picks, and then I went out on a limb, got like the Homer pick. You know, Travis Kelce with the Chiefs, but relatively inexperienced, know nothing about young players at all, really. But I'm 2-0, and no one's talking shit anymore. And look, I might finish 2-14. I don't care. But I'm 2-0 now. For as much grief as I got for drafting Larry Fitzgerald, they were acting like the guy just like sleeps in a coffin. I'm like, he's a Hall of Famer. He can still catch. They're going to get him 80 balls this year. He's going to catch 8 to 12 touchdowns. I mean, it's just a matter of him staying healthy. And he's older now. They're not going to just beat him up like they used to 4 or 5 years ago. They can find someone else to take those hits. But anyway, I'm just happy I'm 2-0. You guys, thank you for listening. Thanks for spreading the word. Stay obsessed, and we'll see you next Wednesday. It'll be Wednesday, not Tuesday or Thursday. It'll be Wednesday, and I'll have some great tales from my travels to the Ozarks in southern Missouri. Everybody got choices. Keep it 1,000 out of life that I chow. Everybody got choices. These niggas be hating, I already know, but I never go broke. No. I'ma stay getting money. Yeah. And I ain't gotta sell my soul. No. I'ma stay getting money. Yeah. If you broke, you ain't like me. No. I'ma stay getting money. Got dick that'll drive a hoe crazy. Yep. Hater? Nope. Wanna see a player get paper? Yep. Traitor? Nope. Loyal to my soil, not a faker? Yep. Sleep? Nope. Bust moves, hella active in the streets? Yep. Scared of the dark? Nope. Have money, have heart? Yep. Nork? Nope. Shark? Yep. Gossip like a brawl? Nope. Check a bitch like a smog? Yep. Slipping? Nope. Tripping? Yep. Sober as a gopher? Nope. Hide in a roller coaster? Yep. Star Wars? Nope. Yoda? Yep. Never leave the house without my strap? Nope. Shoot a motherfucker in his nap? Yep. Never been a sucker or a pussy? Nope. Blowing cookie, never coughing like a rookie? Yep. Everybody got choices. I choose to get money, I'm stuck to this bread. Everybody got choices. These bitches is choosing, I'm all in their head. Everybody got choices. Keep it 1,000 out of life that I chow. Everybody got choices. These niggas be hating, I already know, but I never go broke. No. I'ma stay getting money. Yeah. And I ain't gotta sell my soul. No. I'ma stay getting money. Yeah. If you broke, you ain't like me. No. I'ma stay getting money. Yeah. I give a fuck if you don't like me. No. I'ma stay getting money. Yeah. Was it love at first sight? Nope. Did she ride you like a bike? Yep. Was it ripe? Nope. Was her pussy tight? Yep. Got some property? Nope. Drive a Maserati? Yep. You softer than a sock? Nope. You solid as a rock? Yep. Slow? Nope. Train to go? Yep. Your team weak? Nope. You respected in the street knee? Yep. Shallow? Nope. Didn't need? Yep. Broke? Nope. Chin knee? Yep. Not a BB or a pellet gun? Nope. But a long barrel bass drum? Yep. If I get into it, well, run? Nope. I'ma give a nigga fair run? Yep. Still live in the track? Nope. You ever go back? Yep. Wear a wire and a camera? Nope. Ears to the scanner? Yep. Everybody got choices. I choose to get money, I'm stuck to this bread. Everybody got choices. These bitches is choosing, I'm all in their head. Everybody got choices.
even went that way, I'd have liked it, I chows.
Everybody got choices.
These niggas be hating, I already know, but I never go broke.
No, no, no.
I'ma stay getting money.
Yeah, yeah.
And I ain't gotta sell my soul.
No, no, no.
I'ma stay getting money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you broke, you ain't like me.
No.
Tonight.